This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration blends classroom learning with extensive field education, guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Good afternoon. I'm Alex Degman, and this is The Rundown. Chicago's top watchdog says the city's police department has no consistent playbook for sidelining officers during misconduct investigations. A new report has found officers are almost always relieved of their policing powers if they're arrested, but outside of that, decisions vary widely. And my WBEZ colleague Anna Savchenka reports they often lack transparency. Inspector General Deborah Witzberg says that inconsistency makes accountability harder.
We need to be able to sort of look Chicagoans in the eye, in uniform and out, and assure them that if something goes wrong, we have a system in place that can deal with allegations of misconduct fairly.
Witzberg is calling on CPD to improve record keeping and to set clearer rules for when officers should be put on desk duty. Abbott Laboratories has been ordered to pay $53 million in damages over its baby formula. A Cook County jury decided yesterday that Abbott failed to adequately warn customers in four cases about the formula's dangers and risks. The Chicago Tribune reports Chicago area babies in those cases developed a dangerous intestinal disease after consuming the company's premature infant formula. People who buy 30-day CTA PACE passes can get Divvy discounts starting later this month. It's part of a pilot program the CTA board approved this week. Riders who buy monthly passes through Ventra can get a $5 Divvy credit to use toward classic bikes, e-bikes, and scooters. Molly Poppy is CTA's chief planning and innovation officer. She hopes this program continues and, if it doesn't, can be used as a springboard for similar efforts.
That's part of what we did, is trying to not make this just a one-off, trying to put in the piping and the framework so that we can continue to do this. How do we make sure that we are building integration opportunities that can be replicable throughout time?
An exact launch date hasn't been announced. Up to 20,000 $5 credits will be awarded, but Divvy customers with existing annual subscriptions won't be eligible. A group of Black art collectors are attending the Art Fair Expo Chicago this weekend with a mission to place more works by Black creatives in museums. The Black Collectors Guild is a social collective with more than 100 members from around the world. Co-founder Dwight Smith says it's allowed members to build community and share resources in an industry that's traditionally hard to break into. Smith says he's particularly passionate about helping young artists who may need the connections that the Guild provides.
It gives them that trust and that understanding that, hey, I can make it. And that's what it's all about, is getting in there and really providing support and space.
A 2022 study reports pieces by Black artists account for about 6% of exhibitions at U.S. museums. The Chicago White Sox have announced they'll be giving out the viral Pope hat to all fans in attendance at a game Tuesday, August 11th. Pope Leo XIV's favorite baseball team had initially set the hats aside for only fans who bought special ticket packages, but due to overwhelming demand, the team is now planning on handing the giveaways out to everyone who goes to that game. Fans who purchase the ticket package will also receive a second specialty-themed item that'll be unveiled at a later date. You're listening to The Rundown. Starting this month, the Chicago area will see a wave of events in honor of America's 250th birthday. Last year, the National Endowment for the Arts pledged millions of dollars in federal funding to projects tied to the milestone. This came after a Trump-directed shakeup at the NEA caused the agency to shift focus to America 250 programming grants. Several Illinois arts groups ended up taking the money, so what did they do with it? WBEZ's Lisa Labas spoke with Sun-Times arts and culture reporter Erica Thompson.
Erica, you report that America 250 projects account for about half of the $1.2 million in NEA grants that went to groups in Illinois this year. Which organizations received that funding?
So about 20 organizations received this funding, and they really run the gamut. So you have groups like the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, the Chicago Architecture Center, the United Voices organization, which runs the children's choir program, and then some smaller organizations as well.
What kinds of programs are they planning?
You'll see exhibitions, you'll see concerts. There's going to be a live reading of the Declaration of Independence at the Newberry Library, and it's part of a national effort. So groups all over the country will be reading the Declaration of Independence at the same time. And then you'll also see a production of the Tony-winning musical 1776 by DLO Musical Theater in Danville.
Oh, all right. So NEA grants, they come with some controversy. I know last year the agency clawed back some promised grants amid an ideological shift with the administration. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so they changed their guidelines. So now grant seekers are required to certify that they don't operate diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. The agency also eliminated the Challenge America grants that went to smaller arts organizations that focus on underserved communities.
Okay. So what are some of the questions these groups are grappling with while they come together with this America 250 programming?
They're really trying to figure out, how do we tell the full and complex history of the country while also celebrating its progress? This is happening as President Trump is reviewing the Smithsonian Museum's content. For example, he said that some content that explores race and slavery and queer history is divisive. So you're really seeing organizations in Illinois unpack that. Some of them are saying, you know, does the country live up to the promise of democracy that it set forth in 1776.
Okay. And how are the changes in federal guidelines affecting other organizations?
They are really adapting their programming. So, for example, there's a group here called Sones de Mexico Ensemble. They focus on Mexican folk music. And so they applied for this funding a couple times to support their performance of corridos, which are traditional Mexican ballads. But in order to get funded, they slightly adapted it. So now they are writing corridos based on some of the heroes in Trump's forthcoming National Garden of American Heroes. So they're writing songs about Muhammad Ali, Amelia Earhart, Woody Guthrie. And so that was able to be funded once they made that change.
Okay, got it. So now the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois are rolling out their own list of programming in honor of the country's 250th milestone. What's in store there?
Yeah, so you'll see a lot of stuff. It'll be things like public art installations, music festivals, educational tours. Illinois America 250 is doing this really cool downloadable passport that guides you through different landmarks and organizations throughout the state.
Oh, that sounds cool. All right. That's Erica Thompson with the Sun-Times, and we've been talking about NEA-funded programming in Illinois ahead of America's 250th birthday celebration. Thank you, Erica.
Thank you.
You can read more at suntimes.com. Partly cloudy skies are forecast tonight. We expect lows in the upper 30s. Partly cloudy for our Saturday with highs in the mid-50s. Then on Sunday, we are mostly cloudy, breezy, and warmer with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon and highs in the mid-70s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Alex Degman. Thanks for listening.